You're listening to DVD Talk Radio.
Greetings, pod people. This is CineSchlockerama columnist Noel Gross, and I am back from the Super Bowl of Geekdom, San Diego Comic-Con International. And this will be sort of reflections on the experience. Going to go through my notes here and refer you to different other podcasts that will be featured in my column online. You can go there at dvdtalk.com/cineschlock. That's dvdtalk.com/cineschlock or cineschlockorama.com. Day one was pretty much just wandering the dealer room, and I have evidence of that in a rambling dealer room diary that runs about 20 minutes. If you can stomach some of it, especially some of my fascination with action figures, you will be rewarded with an interview with Cliff Broadway of Ringer's Lord of the Fans fame. He is one of the people behind that documentary, sort of the Trekkies of the Lord of the Rings set. Also, I did a short little talk with Joe Dane of the formerly known Full Moon, which is now Wizard Entertainment. The only panel, I went to two panels on Thursday, and the first one turned out to be the best one of the whole weekend, and that's with Bruce Campbell. He talked about everything that he has going on, including the film he directed and starred in, The Man with the Screaming Brain, which was shot entirely in Bulgaria. All sorts of course, he has his new novel out, How to Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. Really great stuff, so much so that I just hauled off and left the whole session online for you. Clipped out some of the extra parts, but it's all pretty much there. After that was David Cronenberg. He reluctantly talked about A History of Violence. I don't think he was quite as comfortable with the Comic-Con scene as Bruce was, but it was nonetheless a very enlightening session, and I clipped out a couple little bits with him talking about different aspects of the film. You can find that online. Also, I did an interview with William Christensen of Avatar Press about the Texas Chainsaw, Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street comic books. Have to admit, I was a little tardy on Friday. I was intending to hit the Anchor Bay panel bright and early, but I wound up walking into the latter part of Hal Sparks' commentary on the southern rural life and his witticisms about his experiences on the set of Lightning Bug, which comes to DVD on August 9th. And I actually have a copy of that somewhere. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't tell you if it's any good. I was surprised to be intrigued by Room 6. Why surprised? Well, because it stars Jerry O'Connell. That was an instant strike against it for me. But it's sort of a interesting dark tale of angels versus demons versus humans, and this woman who has to overcome her fears of the hospital, and it turns out her fears of the hospital are very founded. Although it was described as a psychological horror film, which always kind of perks my ears and makes me a little leery when they don't just call it a regular horror movie. Jeremy Katzen, he basically bounded onto the stage to talk about All Souls Day, which is based on the Day of the Dead holiday in Mexico. It looks very cool. I shared his enthusiasm immediately after seeing the footage. it just looks like a lot of the zombies are full on really good zombies, and pretty much the word zombie was the centerpiece of all horror that I saw. Lots of zombie pictures coming. So if you love them, great. And if you're getting tired of them already, well, too bad. They're still coming. All Souls Day will, I believe, I can't remember, I can't tell from my notes here, but I have it sketched down as January is the release. Anchor Bay, though, was especially excited about Dead and Breakfast, and I can see why. They're going to do a 20-city theatrical tour, and it's sort of Evil Dead 2 meets Something About Mary. That's their description, not mine, because I haven't seen it yet. They were screening it, but I didn't make it. I had another event to go to. If you miss it in theaters, it's not that big a deal, because it's already scheduled to be on DVD September 6th. They had a few of the stars of the film there and the director, but the most interesting to me was Oz Perkins, the son of Anthony Perkins, who talked a little bit about what it's like to follow in Dad's horror footsteps, and about his character Johnny and how he goes from geek to gorgeous. Not so sure about gorgeous, but he definitely is a younger version of his father. It's sort of eerie. The film initially got an NC-17 and will be released unrated in on DVD and as it screens in theaters. The footage they showed really reminded me of Shaun of the Dead, sort of the slapstick humor mixed with just outrageous gore. So I'm really excited about Dead and Breakfast, and I can see why Anchor Bay is excited too. After that, Anchor Bay was, like everyone else, had some sort of project going with Bruce Campbell, because he was everywhere, from video games to books to umpteen movies. And he was in for this panel to talk about Man with the Screaming Brain. He had a lot of fun stories about Bulgaria and such things as that. I've got some audio of that we'll probably pull later on when the DVD comes out. Oh, and of course, they did tout the new version of Evil Dead 2, including the stinky book that screams when you press the eyeball. After that, it was more wandering of the dealer room, but I was just really stalling until Masters of Horror, and that's a panel that I was very excited about because Roger Corman was going to be there, but once I got there, it turned out that he is fallen ill and is not even going to be involved with this incarnation of the Masters of Horror TV series. It's going to be 13 episodes on Showtime. Each 1 hour episode is completely dreamt up and directed by a master of horror, and they had John Landis, Don Coscarelli, Stuart Gordon, and Mick Garris. Mick Garris is sort of the man behind the whole idea. He managed to get everybody together. They had a lively panel in which John Landis sort of monopolized a lot of the time. I'm definitely going to pull some audio from that once we get closer to the DVD release of that. But it will be on Showtime this October, so you can look forward to those things. Don Coscarelli's piece involves Angus Scrim, so that's exciting for all of us. Mick Garris is doing an original piece of his own. Stuart Gordon, of course, is adapting another Lovecraft piece. And John Landis is actually doing a piece written by his son. Then for me, I indulged even deeper into my geekdom by going to the Battlestar Galactica panel. I just love this show so much. And it's sort of fun to watch the evolution of the first year they were there at Comic-Con. It was the big scandal of Starbuck being a girl. The second year that they were there, I was actually on hand to witness the growth in the crowd from 1 year to the next. That, of course, being after the miniseries had been out. So people were curious about the first season coming out. Well, now that the first season is out, they had one of the larger rooms completely packed, and they had both David Icke and Ronald Moore there. They had Mary McDonald. They had several of the cast members, including Baltar and Apollo and Hilo and Starbuck, and I forget who else. Sharon, Grace Park's character. Sort of the nugget to come out of that is that they're all very excited, and that in episode 10 you can expect to see the Pegasus. Just don't expect to see Lloyd Bridges brought back from the grave is Kane, but Kane will be at the command of Pegasus. After that, it was on to the Lionsgate panel, which by the end of, I really started to have a real sense of cynicism about Lionsgate. They've done so much, and I should really not disparage them, but I really honestly felt like that's a studio that may be losing its way. I'm not sure. Maybe that's because their big ticket item was See No Evil, starring Kane from the WWE. He seems like a nice enough fellow, but the story, the clip that we saw was really loud, and pretty much involved the same sort of scene that you've seen in any number of X-Files episodes of guys, police officers wandering into a dark house and finding bad things in there. They even sort of do a further take on, remember in the Texas Chainsaw remake where the camera goes through the hole blasted through the hitchhiker's face? Well, in this, hence See No Evil, they push a camera into the rotting socket of a girl that's had her eyes carved out like ice cream. It's pretty gruesome. Then they were chirping about a picture called Catacombs. It's set in Paris. A thing called Borderland, which is actually based on a true story of some Texas teens who wander across the Mexico border and get involved with the satanic cult. Okay, I'm warming up to that a little bit. I was especially intrigued by Fido, which is another comedy, a horror comedy starring Carrie Ann Moss, about a little boy who wants a zombie because all the other kids have a zombie and he has one, and it sort of he finally gets his wish, and it sort of turns into a Lassie meets zombie movie. So that's sort of interesting. And then there was a little bit of talk about House of the Dead 2. There was a whole separate panel for House of the Dead 2, which I avoided like the plague, and yet they still managed to slip in a little bit on that. So I couldn't even avoid it in that session. But when they got to the point of talking about Saw 2, that's really when I lost it. It's just more of the same, and it's very clearly rushed out for Halloween, and the more Lee Whannell, who also wrote and starred in the original, talked about all the new traps and just trap, I just wanted to cram my pen in my eye, so I eventually just got up and left. Later on, though, I did get together with three folks from the DVD Talk forums, and we had a roundtable about the sort of our halftime report from the Super Bowl of Geekdom, and you could find that online again at dvdtalk.com/cineschlock. After that, I went to a party at the House of Blues celebrating the Masters of Horror, which was a lot of fun because it was open bar and free food and got your Masters of Horror. I got to meet Don Coscarelli. I got my picture taken with Bruce Campbell. Hey, that's pretty cool. And I think my most starstruck moment, honestly, though, was getting to say hello to Stan Lee. Once we left, they gave us a big bag of goodies, too. So we got a bunch of tickets to Ja Rule, which I probably will never use, and all sorts of DVDs, and a big Superman action figure. Hey, that's pretty cool. Saturday was sort of more dealer rooms and panels of not necessarily any note. I'd kind of hoped to migrate into Hall H at some point, but that was absolutely impossible unless I had the next few years of my life to stand in a line that really I didn't notice move. The Hall H holds 6,500 people, and there were at least three times that outside waiting to get in. Had I made it inside, I would have gotten to see things about Superman and Underworld. That's kind of what I was most excited about. They also had the I Am Flux thing with Charlize Theron. But I'm not sure they ever saw the cartoon, because the getup that Charlize Theron is in looks nothing like the getup that's in the cartoon. So hence, my interest level in that film adaptation has dropped off severely. Got to catch the Devil's Rejects panel, which again, from last year to this year, was a stark difference. Last year, all they really had was a teaser trailer that got everybody excited, and about a tenth as many people were in the room to see it. It was, again, one of the most packed houses of the weekend that I witnessed. Rob Zombie was holding court, and sort of his sort of prickly self. I guess honestly, last year's panel was more illuminating, more entertaining, but the crowd was very enthusiastic. Big moment of the afternoon was getting to meet and interview Lance Hendrickson. He was there to promote his artwork. He does pottery, ceramics, and he's created a series of tiles and platters honoring Alien and Predator, which I have the interview clip available online. To check that out, it's a 5-minute little interview with Lance. It was sort of funny because it was hosted by the Sideshow Collectibles folks, who have a huge pavilion on the dealer room floor. And in the center of that, they have a circular pillar that goes up that has different artwork from the different movies that their figures and prop replicas and all that come from. So I was ushered into that interior, which turned out on the inside is just a bunch of cardboard boxes and plywood. And so there I sat about 2 inches from Lance while we did our interview in sort of a very unglamorous situation. But I guess if you are a celebrity or even semi-celebrity, you must be sheltered from the public. And it was a nice place to get our interview done. And he was super nice. I mentioned that I review pretty much anything I can get my hands on of his works, especially on DVD for the column. I said yes, and I even reviewed your movie Sasquatch, and he looked at me and he smiled and he goes, "Oh, that's one of my alimony pictures." The evening sort of culminated when I had to show up at the Gaslamp Theater in downtown San Diego for the premiere of The Devil's Rejects. You know, I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and more so because I got to see it a little bit early and I got to be on the press line. You know, those red carpet affairs where the celebrities come down? Well, I got to be there and shout questions at the homicidal maniacs as they came into the theater, and that was a lot of fun. Probably of all the things to listen to, I would recommend that you listen to the red carpet interviews for Devil's Rejects and Lance Hendrickson. I think you'll enjoy those the most of everything. Not that this just hasn't been wholly illuminating in its in and of itself. The movie, I think, we'll talk about later. I'll tell you briefly, though, that I gave House of a Thousand Corpses 3.5 stars, and I'm leaning toward the 3-star range on this one. I think Rob has done a much better job with the direction of the film. It's sort of a Sam Peckinpah, as if he were to direct a horror movie about a bunch of serial killers that go on a road trip and spread mayhem on their way. But ultimately, as a film, I'm not sure how entertaining it really is. There's lots of great character moments, but overall, I was sort of left wanting. Which is sort of sad, because I love all these characters so much, and Rob has made it very clear that there will not be another installment in this franchise. So we've at least until Rob changes his mind, we've seen the last of Otis and Captain Spaulding and Baby. So that's sort of a sad thing for me, and I think for a lot of people out there. We love Captain Spaulding. We love Sid Haig. He's awesome. We love Bill Moseley. We love Otis. He's awesome. But that pretty much wrapped up my week. After that, and then my inability to get in Hall H, Sunday schedule, which included some roundtable interview possibilities with the cast of 4400, and potentially getting to interview Brent Spiner for Threshold, just didn't hold the allure that it did. The show was, convention was fun, but in two words, it was exhausting and overwhelming. I think the first time I went, those were also the case, but this time it felt a lot more like work. And that's probably because I was doing extra things like, you know, going to the House of Blues party. You know, that's a lot of work, you know, gotta drink and stuff like that. And, you know, it's tough going when you're standing in a press line and getting to talk to Sherry Moon Zombie about her, role and that sort of thing. But I'd still recommend Comic-Con to anybody. I think you should at least go once. I'm going to have to think long and hard before I ever go back. I think it's grown in its 35-plus years, and Hollywood's involvement has only increased that growth. But that just means that that 100,000 geeks keeps adding a couple of tens of thousands each year, and that's just that much more crowd to beat. And that much more crowd that is going to get to see stuff that you might not. But I've got all sorts of fun pictures and sort of an outline of different things that I saw online. Again, at dvdtalk.com/cineschlock or cineschlockarama.com. Feel free to email me at feedback@cineschlockarama.com. I was pleased to get to meet a lot of you. And those that I did meet, I gave you some DVDs from my gunny sack of goodies. And it's, sort of hard to miss a guy in a lime green coat with this logo blatantly plastered around like he's wearing a huge sandwich board. So, clearly, I have no shame. Until next time, this is Cineschlockarama columnist Noel Gross. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to DVD Talk Radio. Find DVD Talk Radio online at dvdtalkradio.com.